Good morning, everybody. Man, I'm glad, like Greg said earlier when he was talking about it, and we read that scripture. Aren't you glad that God's mercies are renewed every day? I'm telling you, I need it more than once, amen? How about you? I'm just glad that we serve a God like that, that he says his mercies are renewed every day. Praise his name. Hey, do we not have some singers around here or what? Mike last week, and then we have Tony this week, and we got some other ones coming up. But praise God for the talent, and praise God for the people willing to use it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right. Have you ever heard about the movie What About Bob? Have you ever seen that movie? Huh? What About Bob? Well, Bob was kind of a nuisance, right? He was kind of a nuisance. Well, if you see the title of my sermon this morning, I'm going to be talking about What About Ed. And I want you to bear with me a little bit. Now, you're going to have a King James version of the Bible this morning to get what I'm saying. So just bear with me on this. The scripture will be up here shortly. But as you can see, I've titled my sermon, What About Bob? Do you know Ed, or What About Ed? You know, Ed is mentioned all the way through the Bible. Do you know that? Ed's mentioned all the way through the Bible. Ed, matter of fact, Ed is mentioned 375 times in the Bible. Think about that. Ed was there when Noah got off the ark. Didn't know that, did you? Ed was there when God tested Abraham. He was there and asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Ed was there. Ed was present in the wilderness tabernacle. Ed was present in Solomon's tabernacle. Ed was there and he was present in the second temple. He was there. Ed's mentioned in the last time in the Bible in Revelation chapter 16. That's the last time you'll find Ed mentioned. Ed was there when most of you got saved. Ed was there. Ed was there when I got married. And I can guarantee most of you, when you got married, Ed was there too. Ed was there when I got called to preach. The night that I got ordained, Ed was there. He was. Ed was there. Ed is here each week at this church. He's here every week. Ed is there as I pray every week to lead and guide this church through the grace and the wisdom and the knowledge of God and the Word of God. Ed's there. That's why, and why did I call this morning's sermon about What About Ed? Because like in the movie, I feel that the church today would say, some of the churches today would say Ed is a nuisance. In many of the churches in America today, Ed's been taken out. He's been taken out. You're looking at me like, what in the world's the matter with him? You'll see what I'm talking about here in a minute. Because he would be taken, because some people would think it's offensive. Even worse, can I tell you this? This is what bothers me most. They think Ed is not needed. And in most homes today, they feel that Ed's not needed. It is no wonder what's wrong with our families and what's wrong with our home, with this nation today. All right, Jason, put scripture up, please. I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 22. If you would turn, I'm going to read three verses of scripture. And if you're able this morning, when you get there, let's stand. Joshua chapter 22. I'm going to read 26, 27, and then I'm going to read verse 34. Joshua 22, 20. Therefore, we said, let us now to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and your generation after us, that we might do service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, and that our children may not say to your children, to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Now verse 34, this is where you find it. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar, say what it is. Ed. You know that was in there? He called the altar Ed. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is our God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, to you this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open up our hearts and our minds here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you'd help us to understand, Lord, what you want us to be, Lord. And, Father, we just want to thank you. First off, again, as I said first off, thank you for your mercies every day. I thank you for that. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Father, for your word. And Lord, I pray, Father, as each and every one of us, Lord, as we listen to this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, the anointing would be here, Lord. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open to it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's an altar, and they named it Ed. And can I tell you this? Ed is the Hebrew name for witness. They named the altar witness. Far too many people, and I want to say, far too many people today, the altar has become a nuisance to them. It has become a nuisance to them. It has become inconvenient. And we are paying the price for that today as a nation and in some of our families. Friend, when the altar becomes an inconvenience to any of us, may I say this morning, it's time to stop what we're doing and it's time to refocus ourselves on what really should matter in our lives. Amen. Folks, I believe every one of us every day need to build an altar. You know that? Every one of us every day need to build an altar. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl needs to build an altar every day. I'm not talking about, now listen to me, I'm not talking about this altar right here. I'm not just talking about this one right here. It stays here. I'm talking about the one that we should go to every day. That's the altar called Ed. You can say, preacher, this nation needs a spiritual revival. You can say that to me. And you can say, well, I have family members that need to be spiritually revived. And I would say to you, you know what? I agree, but it starts with everyone in this church willing to build an altar and use it every day. I'm not talking about a physical altar. I'm talking about a place where you go to meet and worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If my people, the Bible tells me this, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. And he said, I will forgive their sins, is what he says, and heal their land. Preacher, you may say this church needs revival. Revival starts, can I tell you this? Revival starts when everybody in the church decides that they want to build that altar and pray for that revival to start. That's what it starts. Revival starts when people of the church build an altar and go to that altar every day. It would at their houses, at wherever it may be. Get on their knees and pray for it. Can I tell you something also? You ask me sometimes about revival. Why don't I schedule revival? That's like me trying to tell God when he should bring revival. That's like me. I don't deal that way. I pray, Lord, if he wants me to start revival tomorrow night, I will bring it and start revival tomorrow night. But God, you know, God wants us to awaken out of this thing. He wants us to do that. In 2 Kings 23, King Josiah restored the altar and revival broke out. You remember that story? He found the word of God and he restored it and he started having the temple rebuilt and the altar was rebuilt. And praise God, when the altar was rebuilt and people went to the altar, revival broke out. You want revival in this church or in this community or in this land? Brothers and sisters, rebuild the altar and go to the altars and get on them. Folks, I read the story of Elijah when I was studying it again over and over. And the prophets of Baal, God showed me something. I want you to see this. Please turn there, and I want to read one verse. 1 Kings 18:30. 1 Kings 18:30. When you get there, say amen, please. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Greg, before the fire fell, what happened? The altar was rebuilt. It was repaired. Can I tell you something? You want fire to fall on this church? You want revival fire to fall? Repair the altars in your homes. Repair the altars to where you get on your knees and you pray for it and you worship God there. God, show me. Listen, Elijah had to repair the altar before the fire fell. Praise his name this morning. I believe many today want God to send fire and send revival and send healing for their land, but their altars are in need of repair. Listen, I don't point my finger at everybody here. I'm going to tell you what brother said. There's times my altar needs repaired. There's times when I realize it. You know what? God said, you know what, Dave? You need to repair your altar. You need to, before you preach and teach and tell the people what they need, you need to repair yours first. And praise his name this morning. He is showing us. God will send the fire, but repair the altar first. Church, the altar will speak to us. Did you know that? The altar will speak to us if we will spend time in them until we hear from God. You know, so many times we pray that God will just, we want to hear from him what our will is, what his will is for our lives. But too many times we don't want to take the time to repair the altar and stay at that altar and say, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you want, whatever it is, Lord. Sometimes we don't deal that way. We want our answer right now. We are an impatient generation. And can I say to you this morning, the altar called Ed is a personal altar, by the way. You understand that? It's between you and God. It's not between me and anybody else in this church. That's my altar. That's your. It's not between me and Tink. Tink's got her own altar. It's my altar. It's your altar. You know, that it's a personal thing. Psalm 63:1 says this. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Can I tell you something? Do you thirst for God that much? Do you long for him like you would for a cold drink of water when you're very thirsty? That's what he wants us to do. Can I give you my observation? My humble observation this morning from being around many churches and many church folks throughout the years that I've been a Christian and that God has called me to preach. God doesn't bless a church because of who's standing behind the pulpit. Everybody says amen. Say it. Amen. He doesn't bless a church by who stands up here behind his pulpit or who's leading the church. God blesses a church because of what goes on in their prayer closets at their personal altars down through the week. That's how God blesses a church. The church won't go on with bigger buildings and bigger budgets and bigger and better sermons. This church will go on and this church will prosper because the people are willing to get on their knees at their altar called Ed at home and pray and say, Lord, you take care of what's needed taken care of. That's when God's people get the secret place and build that altar and they pray. Can I ask you something this morning? This is between you and God. I don't ask anybody to raise their hands. Do you have a secret place where you go pray? Do you? Do you have a place where I don't care if it's out in the woods. I don't care if it's in your workshop. I don't care where it's at. Is it in your car? But do you have a secret place where you go and you build an altar? And you say, Lord, I come again today to talk to you. I come again today to be with you today. And can I give you another little piece of advice that sometimes we as preachers, and I say it here a little bit, but you know what? Sometimes when you go to that altar, don't ask him for anything. Just go and praise him. Don't. I'm not telling you not to ask him if you've got a need, but there's times in my life I just want to go there and praise him for what he's done and for saving me. And I tell you, it is a blessing to do that. And you watch the fire fall. Listen, it's not about how loud you shout or how pretty you sing. Amen. Or how smart you are, or how long you've been at this church. It's about your daily, intimate walk with God and how that you go to your prayer closet and build that altar. That's what it's about. Anybody can worship when you're here at this church. Amen? We're good. We can come here. We can worship here at this church. When the music is playing, how about when you're alone with God? Have you ever just started worshiping Him by yourself? Amen. Where you're in your prayer closet, in your altar? Listen, there have been times I have walked through my house. She may not have been here, but praise God, I have worshiped Him with everything I've had in my heart. Because why? He is worthy to be praised. It doesn't have to be in front of everybody, but praise His name. When you build that altar, there's going to be times where you're going to worship Him. People build a lot of things in their lives. We understand this, right? They build homes. They build families. They build retirement accounts. And they build relationships. Don't we build those things in our life? There's nothing wrong with any of those. All those things are good. But the most important thing that you and I could build is an altar in our houses. An altar to pray to the God that has done so much for us. Can I tell you something else? That altar called Ed is a witness altar, by the way. They didn't sacrifice animals on it. Let me give you a little background on what's going on here in this chapter of 22 Joshua. There's 2.5 tribes that stayed on the east side of Jordan. Whenever the promised land was dealt out, there's 9.5 tribes that went to the west and 2.5 tribes went to the east. You know what that 2.5 tribe did? When they went over, they helped them conquer the promised land, then God gave them on the east side of Jordan, of the Jordan River. That's where Syria, and I think Jordan's at today, by the way. Anyway, that was initially God's people, by the way. I'll just say that right now. Anyway, they was over there. What they did when they got back over there, they decided to build a huge altar. A huge altar, they said. The people on the west side of Jordan, they seen it. They thought they were going bad. They were getting ready to go over and take an army over and whoop them. When they got over there, they told them, no. We know we can only sacrifice in Shiloh. We know that. We're here to build an altar for a witness. For your generation, for your children to see. They built it right along the Jordan River so they could look, so the people could see it. For your people to see. Can I tell you something? That altar is a witness. Do you know that altar at your house you're building? That is a witness. Listen to me. In Genesis 35, 1 and 4, and God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all them that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean, change your garments, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I'll make thee there an altar unto God, who answered me this in this day of my distress, was with me in the way which I went. The family altar is important. Things you can do for your family. The family altar, can I say it again? I want to talk to every parent in here. Every young, every grandparent, every who. That family altar is important. He took his family. He could have went and built that altar by himself. He said, no, I'm going to take my family and we're going to build that altar. Why is that for? To teach your children. To teach your children. Why do you say that? Brother, if they see the altar is not important to you, what are they going to learn? The altar is not important to them either. It is a witness. That family altar, that is a witness to you and to your children. In Genesis 18:9, Abraham was told to teach his children so that future generations would know the Lord. That's up to us. That's up to every parent, every grandparent, everybody. That's up to you to teach. Folks, it's not about financial things. It's not all about that. You'll leave your children or your grandchildren when you're gone. It's hard to tell what will become of that by the time you're dead and done. But can I tell you something that is lasting? It is the altar that you build and show that your kids, that altar called Ed. They will be able to say, Mom and Dad lived what they preached. Listen to me. Listen to me. Can your children and grandchildren say that your mom and dad and your grandparents lived what they preached? Oh, you should go to church. Oh, you should do this. And they see you living some other way? No. They see you not using the altar? They see you not using the altar at your house? What are you teaching them? Do as I say, not as I do? We don't serve a God like that. We don't serve a God like that. Listen, will they say, well, my parents and grandparents were praying people? Listen, do they see you going bonkers and not going to God in prayer whenever situations come up in your life? Can they say that you were Bible reading, and believing people? They went to the house of God. Oh, yeah. They went to the house of God whenever it was convenient, or they went to the house of God no matter what. Listen to me. Are you building an altar for your children to see? And probably more important than anything else, this is the most important thing. They lived what they said they were at home. Can I have an amen? You live what you say you are at your house. What was the old saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but I forget how the rest of it goes. Listen to me. You live, your children and your grandchildren know you better than anybody else in this place. They know if you are what you say you are. That's a legacy. That's an inheritance. Can I have an amen? That is. Folks, you may not always get to church house to come to this physical altar. There may be a time in your life you're not able to come to this church and get on this altar. But can I tell you something? If you build that altar at the house, amen, you got it there. You got it there. Do you know you're determining what kind of church you'll leave for the next generation? You are determining that here today. You build an altar, you pray, you teach your kids to pray and grandkids to pray. Having an altar means creating a space in your heart. This is what it means. In lives where you set aside prayer, worship, and you prioritize your relationship with God. Altars back then, you know this, were bulls and goats were sacrificed and things went to die, right? The altar called Ed wasn't that kind of an altar. You know, it's not where animals were sacrificed, but it doesn't mean that sacrifice is not required. How do I know that? It said in verse 27, it said it'd be a witness. At the end of verse 28, it says you'd be a witness. Verse 34, it says you'd be a witness. You know what? To be a witness requires you and me, it requires us to build an altar and sacrifice the flesh on it every day. Did you know the same Greek word used for witness is the same word used for martyr? Do you know that? It's the same word. Paul knew it in the New Testament. He said this, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ, Jesus our Lord, that I die daily. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We need people to build their altars again and again and again. And you know what they need to do? They need to climb up on those altars and they need to use those altars. Praise his name this morning. Now, would you agree with me Ed's important this morning? Anybody in here named Ed? I'm not preaching at you. You can have all there is. And we say to God, you can have all there is of me. Where does this happen? It happens at that altar called Ed. That's where it happens. Now let me finish with this. This is the important part here this morning. If you're listening to me this morning and you're sitting here and you're not sure of your soul's salvation, if you're sitting here and you're like that, let me see. The first altar you need to come to is Jesus. Amen? The day that Jesus died on that cross and he said it is finished and his blood was shed and the price was paid, he became the ultimate sacrifice. Amen? Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away the sin. It just covered it over. But can I tell you something? The blood of Jesus takes care of sin. You see, he has already been bound. He has been taken to the altar and he has been sacrificed. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When the temple veil was rent, as I talked about here a while back, and opened up the way once and for all, Jesus laid his blood on the altar before God in the holies of holies. He laid it there, the supreme sacrifice. Hebrews 10:10, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus is God's last sacrifice for sinners. That's it. If you're looking for another way, there is no other way. The sacrifice has already been done. Listen, Jesus opened up the way. He did. For you to come and lay it all on the altar. There's this altar up here. The altar can mend your marriage. Can I tell you that this morning? The altar can mend your marriage and put love back in your home. The altar can deliver you from bondage that you're facing. The altar can cure depression, suicidal thoughts, and any feeling of weariness that you got. The altar can do that. The altar will turn loneliness into happiness. Hope and joy. The altar will reveal God's will and plan for your life. But you got to use it. You got to be willing to give it all, lay it all down right here. So I said, Jesus has already made the way. All you've got to do is come and accept the sacrifice that he's already done. And come and then lay it all at this altar. Then go from there and go build your own altars at your house. Belinda, could you come and get a song for me? There's nothing you will ever face that this altar cannot take care of. Nothing. I've heard Jamie Burton say this, and I'll leave you with this. Now that's good stuff there. Amen? That's good stuff. We serve a God that cares that much about us. He does. He loves us. He cares that much about us. Listen, he wants us to come to the altars, but he wants you to build an altar at your house. If you're lost here this morning, come to this altar here this morning. Amen. If we get a song, if you have a need this morning, please come.